And welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have another episode of the Cinemania Live Show. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Hannah Louise the Third. We're back.
Hey.
How you doing? How are you?
I'm good.
If I sound a little shaken up, everyone, it's my first show in like a week. Take care of yourselves, people. Mental health-wise, anxiety-wise, depression, take care of yourselves. Talk to your friends, talk to your peoples, and look out for each other. And don't force yourself to do things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to go. If you're like a critic, like, obviously you have to see all the movies and watch all the whatevers. But, like, you know, you don't have to. Someone messaged me that the other day. They were just like, you know, you don't have to watch everything. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And unfortunately, John Wick had to be like the sacrifice last weekend. Because I did not go to the movies last weekend.
Oh, you still haven't seen John Wick?
I haven't seen it, no. So, Okay. Yes, we are back here on the podcast, everyone. I had to take a little mental break, but I am here. It's very good to have you guys all here. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Larry for taking care of that review for John Wick this past week. And yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on. But Hannah, what's up? Before we get into, we're just gonna get back into the things, everyone. Just kind of go through some mailbag questions. So we'll take those later on. But before we get started, I feel like you and I have a lot to talk about. Have we even spoke on air since the finale?
No.
Holy smokes.
It's been 3 weeks. That's crazy.
And we were going to record last week and then, oh man, just shit.
What even happened last week?
What? We just talked about it for like
an hour. Oh, okay. I was thinking the other week because we've been trying to like record.
Yeah.
And something keeps coming up.
yes, I know. But we back, Cinemania Live. I was actually listening to an old episode of Cinemania Live. that's what gets me like back into like the podcasting mood is just like listening to old episodes, and I'm just laughing at just banter. I think
what episode was it?
You know what it was? It was an old episode of Bonfire.
Oh.
I really want to do that again. It's been a long time. It was, if you don't know, everyone, Bonfire is a show that we were doing during a pandemic where literally there was nothing to talk about. So we created the show called Bonfire where we just get on air and just talk. Some of them, I think one went for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
One of them was like two.
Long.
They're like 2.5 hours, 2 hours of us just bantering back and forth. And it's on our archive. If you want to go check it out, just go up to the search bar and search Bonfire and something would come up. I think we did five. I would call them sessions. So we did five sessions of it. And I think our last one was like 2021. And it's been a minute. But those shows, we would just come on. It'd be like me, you, Larry, a couple of other people.
One we did because me and Larry got into a really heated argument about Big Time Adolescence.
You and did y'all really?
Yeah.
This is our last episode was January 24th, 2021. Mm-hmm. This is before I moved into this place, so that's kind of crazy. It was me, you, Larry, and Kayla. And I remember I was listening to the show where we were talking about, it was Super Bowl Sunday. And we were talking about the Godzilla versus Kong trailer, and we were all getting on you because, like, you didn't watch it yet. And, like, you was like, I don't care. And we were, like, all mad. And I was like, fuck Hannah. Like, what's wrong with her,
man? And I still don't care about those movies.
What is wrong with her, man? What you been up to? How's everything been? It's been a long time. How are you coping with The Last of Us?
Oh, God. I cried for like days, and I hate saying that because it sounds so dramatic and ridiculous over a TV show, but, and I know I've explained it a million times, but I really just don't think that people understand that. And I know so many people have a completely different attachment to it than I do. Like, they played the game when it first dropped, and they mm-hmm. had to wait the 7 years for part two, and then they waited the however many years for the TV show, because it initially was a movie, and this started way back in like 2015 or something, right? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it the other day. My thing with the TV show is just so, and the games is just so, like, special and different. Because I played the games because of the TV show. And I know other people probably did, but I was like, oh, I just want to play them just because I want to know what Pedro Pascal is getting into. And I played them. Well, I've never played a video game before. It was my first video game that I ever played. And I sat down, and it literally just, like, changed my life. So it's so crazy that I had that experience with the games, and just, like, completely unknowingly. And mm-hmm. they became my favorite things ever. And then with the TV show, like, after playing them leading up to the TV show and just being excited, but also in the mindset of, oh my god, I don't need this at all because the games are just so perfect, but also this is like the whole reason why I played the game, so I have to be excited for it. And then getting the TV show and it just being like everything that somebody who loves the source material would expect from an adaptation of their favorite thing ever. So mm-hmm. yeah, it was a lot. So when it ended, it was like very full circle for me. I cried for like days. I literally couldn't watch anything because I was like, oh my god, The Last of Us. But now I'm okay. Three weeks later, I literally just got over the mourning period. Like 3 days ago, I was still very upset about it, but I'm okay now.
Wait, about what?
About the show ending.
Oh, the show ending. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm finally starting to like actually watch stuff. When I went and seen Shazam, that's when I was like, okay, I'm okay.
Speaking of that, you came out of it and you like liked it for whatever.
Unfortunately.
For whatever reason. I don't get it. You know what I mean?
I'm mad that I liked it. Literally, like,
don't be mad.
No, I am though. Because when the first trailer dropped, we are all like, awful. Oh my god, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, awful. No interest in it. Leading up to the movie, the press tour, like, everything. And then you guys came out of it, obviously, were like, oh, I didn't like it. And I was like, oh my god, guys, I'm not even going to go see it because why would I? I have no interest in it. And then I finally went and seen it. And I sat down and I was like, guys.
I remember you came out of it. And I was like, oh my god, no. What did you even, like, what did you like? Man, I did not like it, dude. And the ramifications of the movie ever since then has just been awful. And then, like, I saw yesterday that Asher Angel liked a tweet about Zachary Levi. That was like one of my main things, because like the poor kid is in the movie. The poor kid has a cameo in his like own shit.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I still have the same issue of, man, I think the kids are exponentially more interesting than the adults, even though they are technically the same characters. I think that, and I know that's the whole point of Shazam's character, but I don't understand why we have to spend the majority of the time with his counterpart. That's not actually him.
You know, today, and then today I started reading a comic book, and I bought a bunch of comic books over the weekend because I was like, you know, Dana's gone for the weekend. I'm just going to chill, read some comics, play some Call of Duty, and just like relax. So I got Flashpoint because I want to get ready for the Flash movie. That's pretty much what they're doing. They're doing the Flashpoint paradox, you know. And I'm reading it and I'm going through the pages and I'm reading it. I'm still at the beginning. And then a boy shows up to talk to like the heroes. I was like, who the fuck is this kid? And then one character was like, Billy. It was like, oh my god, is this Billy Batson? And I was like, and then, you know, his family comes up and I was like, oh shit, it's the Shazam family. I was like so excited. I was like, oh my god, I'm seeing Billy in comic book form. And then he's acting normal and he's talking and he's like, yeah, you know, we should help. He's a child, you know, he's still like probably, I think in the comic, he's probably like 16, 17, and he's talking and he's fine. He's not over the top. And then he's like, okay, let's do this and stuff. And then he says Shazam and turns into Shazam. But then Shazam talks how the kid does. And I'm watching this Fury of the Gods, and I was like, what is the disconnect between actual Billy and Zachary Levi's portrayal of Shazam? Because actual Billy does not act like this.
No.
The whole, like, goofy and dumb and I'm stupid and I'm crashing everywhere and, oh my God, I hit a dragon. Like actual Billy is not a geek. No. But Shazam is a geek. And I get so confused by how, like, why that is a thing. Like, I think it's a little prominent in the first movie, but it's not as over the top as this one. And that was one thing I was just like, man, I do not like his performance. And apparently the poor kid didn't like his performance either.
There's a huge disconnect with Asher Angel and Zachary Levi. And it's not that way with the other kids either.
At all. And I get so confused.
And I'm not sure if it's on Asher Angel's part or Zachary Levi's part. I don't want to point fingers and say that it's like one of them and whatever. Zachary Levi. I know. But like, it made me think about how seamless the, because obviously you can't have Asher Angel play Shazam as the adult counterpart. He's very clearly like a 20-year-old kid.
Right,
you need a different person to play the characters, right? And right. It made me think about Moonlight and just mm-hmm. how seamless that casting is.
The actors, I agree.
Just the performances across the board. Like, there's three of them, so it's a little tougher over there, but just how seamless the performances are. And here, I know it's a completely different movie, but...
No, I get what you're saying. I get it.
Translate the same. I mean, if you have a director sitting down with them, that should be a conversation that, you know, the performance has to be rooted in the same way.
Like, sit Zachary, like, Zach, hey, let's talk. What are you doing? Like, you know, like... What are you doing? Like, did that ever happen? You know, the person, the two people that I think have the best child actor to is adult it
Jack
actor.
And Adam.
Actually, no. I think it's the little girl.
Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. Her, when she turned into Megan Good, I still feel the girl is inside Megan Good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're both so in syncly. Like intertwined together as performers, that she is doing the exact same stuff that she's doing as a child, the way she speaks, the way she emotes, like, all, you know, taking the cats, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like how the child does. I think Adam Brody? I think him and I don't think they had the greatest kind of switch up, but I think Jacqueline Grazer was absolutely incredible.
Adam Brody's barely in this movie.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. When I walked out, I was like, wow, David F. Sandberg must really love Jacqueline Grazer.
Put him in a horror then.
Yeah.
Put him in a horror.
He kind of wrote him the best part. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
He wrote the script in a way that, or whoever wrote the script, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he did or not, but whoever wrote the script wrote that part to have that character thing of his powers are gone throughout most mm-hmm. of the movie. Mm-hmm. And you see it happen to other characters, but they get them back pretty fast, or they get rid of the character, which Pedro, he, like, they get rid of him for, a good chunk of the movie. So after he loses his powers, but I was like, wow, like, they must really love Jack Dylan Grazer for good reason. I mean, he's phenomenal in the movie. He gives the best performance in the movie.
Absolutely. Oh man.
He was acting. He was down. Acting
horrible. they ought to be ashamed. I mean, they ought to be ashamed. I would be as an actor, I would be annoyed. Why are you doing all this for this movie?
If I was Asher Angel reading the script, I would have been pissed. Because they gave Jack Dylan Grazer the best role in the movie. And it's called Shazam.
No, I think you're right. And that was like my biggest, the movie was just, it just didn't work for a lot of reasons. It just didn't really work for me. But I didn't hate it too. Like, I didn't hate it but I just like, it just didn't work for me. And yeah, I think, listen, David F. Sandberg, if you want to tap back into horror, take Jack with you, because that'd be great. You know, like that would be a lot of fun. I love David F. Sandberg's horror stuff, Lights Out. And
he did Oculus, right?
I think he did Oculus, and he did Annabelle. Oculus. He did the best Annabelle movie, which is Annabelle Creation, I think. And
that's the only one I watch.
It's yeah, so like, listen, if you're trying to go back into horror, take little Jack with you and have a good time. Take Mary Marvel too, because she...
Oh no, that's Mike Flanagan, my bad.
Mike Flanagan. Oh yeah, that's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They sound alike. Anyway, so yeah, so Shazam
Mike
was...
Mike Flanagan just... did Lights Out, too.
Yeah. Oh, he did. So what the fuck?
Wait, no. Why is... I don't know why Mike Flanagan is listed for Lights Hold Out on IMDb.
Did Director?
He... No. Director is David F. Sandberg, but Mike Flanagan is listed here. For
maybe he's producing, maybe like that. It's all the same. I don't know. But I kind of want to watch that again. I can't watch that shit alone. I'm going to wait for Dana to get back.
I don't think I ever watched.
You never seen like...
I seen the short because it was okay. So viral when it came out. I don't know why I never watched it.
It's been a minute. I actually might check it out. But I'm in the house alone. I can't do that shit. Fuck. What I look like out here. Anyway. Yeah. So Shazam just was a... It just didn't work for me.
I like it in the same way that I like Far From Home. Not saying that I like it as much as Far From Home, but it's like I have issues like... with it for sure. But it has that emotional core, and you know, that's like my thing.
I gave you a lot of flack when I would say that, when you used to say that for Far From Home, when we would argue about it. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, Hannah, it sucks. But then you say why. You're like, you used to say that it came out at a time where you needed it. And I was like, but like nowadays, I understand that wholeheartedly. Because I like again, I've been going through some things. Nothing's bad has like happened in my life. I'm just in a rut right now mentally. So like all week I was like, man, do you even want to go see any movies this week? But it's tough because like I feel like as a critic, when you miss a movie, you just fall behind. Mm-hmm. And then you can if you miss another one, like you're just You're behind. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure you feel like that a lot, because obviously you can't jump to, you don't have a movie theater that's like 15, that's like 10 minutes away from you, right? Like you said, yours is like, how far is it? Like,
well, I have a theater in my town. I can literally walk to it. It's like a 10-minute walk.
So what the fuck?
But it's a like it's a shitty one. It's so
oh okay,
bad.
That's fine. But say don't tell Larry that shit. No, but like yeah, but I can understand that. You know, as to why, like, I can't go every week to a movie, like, as far as your sake. But for me, I can. I have a few theaters close to me. I have one that's 10 minutes, and then I have Cinemark that's, like, 16. And this week, I was just like, do you really want to go to the movies? Like, you don't have to. Do you, like, need to go just stay home and, like, do nothing? But yesterday, I was like, you know, let's try, you know, because sometimes when you're in stuff like these, you just gotta try, right? So I went, and because even for the review, I was like, Larry's was gonna do the review, and he most likely still is tomorrow, but so I was just like, you know, let's just go check it out. And the movie that I saw, Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. it's not great, but it like... It was a movie that I needed. It was a movie that, like, you know, I needed a smile. I needed to have a good time. I needed to watch friends come together for a cause. You know what I mean? Like, I needed that. And I think that's why I walked out of it so high. Like, great, you know, because I like when movies can make me do that, where it's not too complex. If I was feeling like this and I saw Shazam, I probably would feel better about Shazam. I don't know, but like, I don't know. But seeing this,
maybe
I was just like,
I liked it so much. I was so impressed over The Last of Us.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe you needed that kind of joyous kind of film to watch that you don't have to take seriously. There's no complex theme here. It's just kids having a good time. And that's kind of what Dungeons and Dragons is just Chris Pine being goofy, and it's Michelle Rodriguez being goofy, and it's Sophia Lillis being like a shapeshifter, and Justice Smith being Justice Smith. I was like, all right, dude, yeah, man, this is, you know what I mean? I had a good time. And I think that's why, you know, I understand what you mean when you say things like that, as far as like, you know, it was a movie that I needed to watch. And that's why you like it. Far From Home is still whack, but you know, I get it.
Not too much.
I understand. All right, let's get into some of these mailbag questions. This person here, if you want to send us a mailbag question at any time, just send us an email, cinemania2018@outlook.com. Okay, this person here says, we're getting right into it, are we? Man. This person here says, what do you think Marvel should do about Jonathan Majors? Now, listen, before we get into it, Hannah and I just had like a 30-minute conversation about this whole thing, and we talked about, should we even like talk about it, you know? Because I'm not here for no clickbait. I'm not here for all that. I'm not here for this drama. But I feel like it's been a few days, so if you want to get into it, if you want to answer that question, we can. What are your thoughts on that?
I think most importantly, sending all the love to the victim and keeping her in my thoughts. And I can't imagine, you know, what it's like to have trauma this public.
Real quick, those messages that his team released that thought that was going to look good on him, those actively broke my heart when I was reading them, because you know what that is. You know what I mean?
Anybody who has been in an abusive relationship of any sort knows exactly what those messages really say.
Not even abusive in a sense of a relationship.
Mentally
too.
Gaslighting,
just if you've just, ever been a yeah. if you've ever been like abused, or you know, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, like a boss,
yeah,
that you know exactly what those messages were. And I was like, that. Did nobody tell you guys that didn't look good? Y'all thought that was like, oh, this is the. I was flummoxed that was what they had. I was like, oh my God, this looks crazy. Worse. So I don't know.
But if we must, I think that Marvel should handle it in the way that I think any situation like this should be handled, but sadly it's rarely handled this way. He should be fired and recast, and this is a very easy role to recast, just considering who Kang is. So yeah, I that's where I'm standing right now. I don't think that this should be the topic of conversation around or I don't even really think that there should be a conversation around a woman's trauma like this that is so public, especially after the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. So yeah, that's my two cents, and that's it.
I guess for me, I agree that they should definitely move on. They shouldn't just wait and see what happens too. They should just kind of get on top of this immediately. Just to like let people know that, you know, they know what's going on, because a lot of the times when like something does happen to like Marvel stars, they tend to just like don't say anything about it really, and they just kind of just keep it pushing. Like, this is mostly what happens when like their stars would say something online that's kind of suspect and kind of crazy, and you know, whether it's like anti-Semitism and like whatever, they usually just don't reply to it. But this is a much more heavier case where it involves the police and it involves domestic violence and stuff. And I think they definitely should handle it and probably just move on from Jonathan Majors before it gets kind of crazy. And it's painful to say that as someone who who just, I root for black people and I root for successful black people. But I mean, just like, you got to deal with the consequences of your actions. You know, we still don't know 100% what's going to happen at the end of the day with all this. For all we know, the charges will be dropped. My feeling is that that's what's going to happen. Everything's going to be dropped and they're just going to continue like nothing happened. But I really hope that that's not the case, because you don't want another, at least to like, just for self kind of, just for self kind of, you just don't want another Ezra Miller situation where you just kind of let things play out and then just continue to make movies with this person. So I don't have a good feeling about it all, but because I do feel like it's going to get swiped under the rug and we're just going to keep pushing.
Probably. That's, and, I mean, this isn't the first time that an abuser is going to get a SWAT in hand and, okay, off to the next project.
Yeah, he'll probably out and apologize and do the...
every day in Hollywood, so...
Yeah. He'll probably come out and apologize, do the whole rigmarole, and then talk about mental health, talk about I'm going to get better, and then we're just going to keep it moving.
Yep.
And I, so we'll see what happens, I guess. Okay. This person here says, I'm scrolling through all these Jonathan Majors questions. I'm sorry, guys. this person here, okay, I found a good one. Person here says, I just saw that tickets are going on sale for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 very soon. Actually, it was just announced on Monday. They're going on sale. How are you guys feeling about it? I'm excited, but the CBM genre needs a win right now because they look
so bad. I know I like Shazam.
Goofy.
I like Shazam, but that is definitely not the majority opinion.
And oh man, I'm getting so annoyed at the superhero movies are dead, and it's finally, superhero fatigue is finally setting in. And I'm like, bro, how many years do we have to keep having this conversation? Like, this came up in like 2015. This came up in like 2007. This came up in like 2012. In 2012, think about what was in 2012. Avengers and Dark Knight Rises, and this was like a conversation. I guarantee, like, this happened. It's like articles. You go find them after Dark Knight Rises. It was like superhero fatigue. It's like at an all time high, and I was like, what? So, listen, guys. I don't think there's ever really going to be superhero fatigue. I don't think that's what's happening right now with these movies. These movies just aren't great. I think that's what's going on, because why didn't we talk about superhero fatigue when we talked about Wakanda Forever or Multiverse of Madness? Why didn't we, or the Batman? Why didn't we talk about that then? Like, I understand that conversation. If this is like our sixth movie and we're just, it's by the numbers and the numbers aren't doing good, but Wakanda Forever did well. It didn't make like $15,000 billion like everyone thinks it has to make to be successful. It did really well. Love and Thunder did well. Multiverse of Madness did well. The Batman did well. I think we need to chill. It's only been two movies as to why it's looking a little suspect, you know, Quantumania and Shazam. So for that sake, I hope Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is a huge win and success so I can stop hearing about this. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of it, it's looking bleak, because these other movies that are coming out, they're all like franchise best and franchise records and exceeding expectations. And like literally this weekend, Dungeons and Dragons was like, they were clocking it to do like 20 million. And that thing is like looking like it's about to do like 40 this weekend. And it's like, yeah, like John Wick did the best it did of the franchise last week. Scream did the best it did. Creed 3 had the best of its franchise. So, I mean, these other movies are cooking. So it's looking bleak for the CBMs right now. So I don't know, but they need a win with this Guardians 3 for sure.
Yeah. Me personally, I just miss my family. We have been without the Guardians for so long. It's 2017 is the last time we got a Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. I know we had the holiday special. I know they made their appearance.
5 years.
And Sheesh. Nuts, especially for comic book movies now. Like, the standard like wait time for a sequel is maybe like 2 years at the most. I mean, we saw how fast Marvel got those Spider-Man movies out. I mean, the trilogy concluded within what, 4 years? It would have been three if it weren't for the pandemic. I need them back in my life, and I need them back in James Gunn's hands. I know they showed up in Endgame in Infinity War. That's a question mark. Yes, they're very much.
Yes, they did.
I know they showed up in that under the Russos' hands. I know they showed up in Love and Thunder's under Waititi's hands. I need them back with James Gunn in their home. I'm so ready for this movie, and every time I try to root against James Gunn, he always proves me wrong. I said I would hate Peacemaker, and ended up being one of my favorite shows of last year. I wasn't really all that excited for the Suicide Squad until like the trailer came out, and I was like, oh my god. Just very much ready to sit down in the movie theater, laugh, cry, probably walk out as a new person.
and I've loved the trailer. I've loved the trailer like so much since it's been playing, the newest one that they've been playing. I think it just feels weird because I remember in 2016, what are we watching in 2016? Doctor Strange, Civil War. I remember in 2016, like, you know, end of 2016, we were watching movies, and I think, was Rogue One 2016?
Yes.
Okay, so, perfect. I remember Rogue One, walking into that, and it was packed, right? And it was, everyone's buzzing, and popcorn's flying around, and everyone's all giddy and excited, everyone's swords and lasers are out, and they're pumped, and trailers are starting. People are still jacked, and they're excited. And the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer would play. And it's just like a rumble in the theater. Like, oh, Marvel. This is like Marvel was at like a high at this point. Like, going into 2017, they got the rights to Spider-Man. We got Spider-Man coming next year. You know, Guardians 2 next year. Thor Ragnarok next year. So, like, they were just, you know, everybody's geeked up. And I remember just the trailer, just like this hype. But, like, It's so, if you look at the times now, and like when that trailer comes on, like there's people, obviously, I'm sure people are excited, but it's just not the same. And that has to account for probably just the lull right now around superhero genre and just around kind of, you know, Marvel as well. And it's disappointing every time that trailer comes on and I don't get like a, you know, because even as recently when you go and see No Way Home, they started showing the trailer for Multiverse of Madness. And there was like a buzz and it was like, you know, craziness. They try to show the trailer for Morbius. Somebody moves. But, you know, Multiverse of Madness
Madness trailer is so good, though.
Yeah. So it's like I want that feeling back when it comes to this universe, and I don't know when I'm gonna get there, like to like where a Marvel trailer comes on and I'm just geeked and it's like a packed theater. So I'm hoping that happens when the Guardians movie does come out, because I don't know what trailer they're gonna be showing in theaters for that.
Is there?
I don't think there's gonna be. Yeah, I think
Marvel's trailer.
Maybe they'll have a teaser for the Marvels, because they usually like to do like a teaser or something of their next movie coming out.
We do have the Little Mermaid trailer that they will definitely play in front of it.
Yeah, so
have we talked about that yet?
I don't know, man. I'm not moving. I'm really not. I'm trying to move. And listen, her sister's doing great, you know, on Swarm.
On Swarm. Okay, I
was gonna. She still didn't really do much in Swarm. She got.
I thought you were talking about her album.
No, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about her scene. You know.
But... Shut up. Little Mermaid. It definitely looks like a movie.
Yeah, I'm not moving, and that's sad. On these movies, why didn't movies looking like this?
I don't.
And yo, why are some of these movies so ugly, bro? It's like a Disney thing.
I don't think it's a Disney thing.
You know why I thought that? You know why? Because I saw Dungeons and Dragons yesterday, and there's scenes when they're in like lava, and it's like castles and dragons, and it didn't look like the volume. It was like, oh, this looks like a set. Holy smokes.
I think that's because of the directors. I think that, I forgot what I was watching or who I was listening to or who said it, but somebody said this about the Little Mermaid trailer. Rob Marshall's movies, they aren't known for being like technological marvels or anything like that. And he's not really a director that's known to work with, you know, movies on this scale that need this much like VFX and whatnot. Right. And the thing is after watching The Way of Water, I know all of us are like, we were ready to hate The Way of Water. At least a few of us on the team, we were ready to hate The Way of Water. Because we don't really love Avatar like that, right?
Unfortunately.
And then watching The Way of Water and just how pristine it looks. And it's literally a movie that's like 99% like VFX. And there's not a director that I can think of right now that could have made that movie look the way it does other than James Cameron, because James Cameron knows that medium. I mean, maybe Andy Serkis, because Andy Serkis is also like one of those, you know, heavy VFX guys. He knows how this thing works like inside and out, right? Obviously with the Planet of the Apes movies, I think Matt Reeves too. I think that's why the Batman looks so good. Matt Reeves worked on those movies.
Incredible.
Batman is seamless, right?
Incredible.
These directors know the space that they're in, but where Disney is hiring directors that we just had this conversation the other day. They've made like two little indie movies and Disney hands them $200 million and a bunch of blue screens. And they're like, okay, make a movie. How the fuck do they know what they're doing? They don't. They've been getting like $100,000. And it's like, okay, here's like a few sets. Make your movie. That's what they know. They don't know what the fuck they're doing when they step on these sets. And I'm not trying to discredit, like, you know, obviously the Russos, they didn't have a lot of background in this. And they
speaking of Russos, bruh, I was watching that movie, Maria Menounos, and they showed a trailer for that movie Citadel from them. I guess it's theirs. I was like, what the fuck? That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to like discredit the Russos or anyone who's working at Marvel right now. That also came from like those, that little budget background. But there's a difference. There's a big difference. And I think the thing with The Little Mermaid is that Rob Marshall definitely doesn't really know what ballpark he was in. And that's why The Little Mermaid looks like that. If you get James Cameron that budget with the same, you know, materials at hand, that movie wouldn't look like that. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, I agree with you, because I don't know, man. I was watching this and I was like, they did show the trailer. I forget which movie I was watching, but they showed the trailer and I was like, the fuck? I think it was before Shazam, and I was like, what's happening here? I wasn't vibing with it, but all right, before we get off air, let's get through some more questions, because I got to go watch WrestleMania, bruh. This person here says, did you guys see the rumors regarding Matt Reeves' potential spinoffs in the Batman universe? Also, what are your thoughts on the Clayface in Batman Part 2? Great! I love Clayface. I'm chilling. Although a lot of people are assuming it's going to be the fantastical monster looking Clayface, and I don't think it's going to be. Like, I think it's going to be the, like, he's going to make it like sadistic serial killer type shit again, probably. I don't think it's going to be like the like, you know, do you get what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to be that.
I'm not. The thing that I saw about Clayface is that he like, is it the skin of people that he kills?
So I think he's gonna do that version, like a Jigsaw type of shit.
Okay.
Like, I think he's gonna do that. I don't think he's gonna do like, oh, I'm Clayface, and he's fucking big and slimy.
I saw someone say that that's just Hush, though.
Who? Oh, the I mean, it could be. So I don't know. I think he's, but I do think he's gonna bring it down to earth like he did with the Riddler, because you know he didn't have Paul Dano in a top hat going like, you know what I mean? He didn't do all that. So I think, you know, I think the same way for all his other villains. Like, you know, some of these other rumors of like the spinoffs. First of all, dude, listen, I love Matt Reeves. I love Batman's villains, bro. Can I get some heroes in this? Why does every spinoff have to be for a villain? I get it. Batman and Spider-Man, they got like some of the, they got the best villains rogues gallery. I get it. But you know what they also have? They have great side character, like side heroes. Like, give me something with Nightwing. Give me something with Red Hood. Give me something with Huntress. Give me something with like Batgirl. Like anything like that. Like, I'm so tired of villain, villains. Because what you guys do with all the villain stories, I have yet to see Penguin. But what happens is that you turn them into heroes. And yeah. Peacemaker's great, but like they all get turned into the good guys. And I don't, you already have some good guys. So use them. Fuck.
I think that Nightwing and Robin and stuff like that, that's definitely going to be in the Reeves trilogy.
Yeah, do
Robin
something.
Robin in particular, like, I won't say that I want a spinoff for them, because I do think that they're going to be in the movies. And if they are going to be involved and they're going to get introduced in the movies, which they mm-hmm. should be, I don't think that. I'm with the MCU leaning so hard on people, or depending on people watching their shows. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people show up for the Marvels, they're going to expect people to have seen Ms. Marvel. And
oh, that's not going to be the case.
That's
yeah.
just not the case. I'm yeah. very much over the rhetoric of introducing characters for movies in projects that aren't the movies. So mm-hmm. if we are going to like be introduced to Nightwing, Robin, whatever, please introduce them in the movie. And I think Matt Reeves will.
And the thing Robin about Marvel is that they used to do that. Like, they yeah. used to do that formula of, like, movies first, then, like, other stuff. Like, the Black Panther and Falcon, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Robin in particular, I think that Rob's Batman has been set up so perfectly for Robin that I'm going to be so upset if we don't get one.
Man, I had, like, two people in that damn first movie. I was like, oop, Robin. The little boy from the
like,
beginning. I mean,
like
that's obvious.
For one, basically.
He was already. Tell me that wasn't foreshadowing. He was already a ninja. Hello. I was like, and then Batman giving him that look. I was like, hello. And then the kid from the train.
Mm-hmm.
The one who was like didn't want to do it.
Is
I was like.
Robin
he is kind of funny on Titans yeah but anyway like I was like hello I don't know I had like three people in the movie where I was like Robin anybody like I need to see the Bat family on screen. Shazam family's fun, whatever, cool. I need to see my Bat family. Like, they tried it with that video game. It was
a
flop.
I need to see my miserable Bat family.
Yes, they tried it with the video game and you know, with Gotham Knights. It was a flop. It was whatever. But like, I remember, you're never going to play the game, but this Batman Arkham Knight, right? I remember when I was playing that game, but you're Batman, of course, but there's just so many sequences where you just occasionally bump into like Robin or Nightwing or Catwoman or here's Red Hood and here's Batgirl like around the corner. Like, that was so cool to me, and I was like, I want to see that in a movie. Like, I want to see, they don't have to be in there the entire film, like, but I would love to just see eventually Rob is like on his bike and then fucking Robin just stops on by like, hey, what are you doing? he's like, go to school, kid, or something like that. I don't know, just something. But like, I get it. Like, if I had the reins of Batman and they were like, what do you want to do? Of course I'm going to be like, oh, fuck Poison Ivy, dude. Oh, fucking Penguin.
I need Batman to have a main female villain as like the central one of the movies.
I mean, yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I just need some variety regarding like. Like, I get it. You know, you had the right, you not the rights, but like you have Batman's rogues gallery in front of you. And Warner Brothers, with the big pile of money, are like, what do you want to do? And I get it. You want, oh, Scarecrow, and oh, I can do Clayface and Poison Ivy, of course. But man, can I get some heroes like chucked into some of that a little bit, like just a little bit? Same thing with Sony too. Like, what are we doing with all these? Like, is there a reason why you can't do some Spider-Man movies on your own?
Yeah.
Like Spider-Gwen live action, like Spider-Woman live action, like something else, Black Cat, anybody. It's just El Muerto and Venom and Morbius. The fuck are we
Craven,
doing?
We got Craven coming too.
What are we doing? And Craven's like a vegan. Whatever. I don't know what's happening. So, okay. This person here says, we'll do one more question. This person here says, do you believe the theory that Foggy and Karen were blipped?
If that is the reason, I'm going to actually burn down Marvel Studios. If they don't have Foggy and Karen in the show, and the best reason they can give me is, oh, they were blipped, I'm gonna... Oh my god.
That's such a Marvel ass reason too. Like, that's such a
I need something better than that. If you want me to buy into this show, my whole thing with that, okay, let me calm down, because I've been waiting to talk about this. I love Daredevil. Daredevil is in my top favorite
the Netflix show, yeah.
The Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
And I have been begging for Daredevil back ever since it was canceled, right? Mm-hmm. As most people have. And I was so excited to see him in No Way Home. And when we found out that they were going to reboot, I guess, quotation marks,
mm-hmm,
I was excited. But
also, no, we were both, it was the same thing. We were both like, okay.
I wasn't super excited about the showrunner and the writers that they brought on board. Obviously, it's now in Disney Plus and not on Netflix, so it's gonna be censored in some way. And not saying that Daredevil is like a super hard R-rated TV show on Netflix. It wasn't, but it was like, it was very violent. It had a lot of mature like themes, and it was not what the Disney Plus shows have been, right? We were promised when Moon Knight was talked about.
Oh, don't get me started on that bullshit, bro.
You
don't
swear to God the Moon Knight was the fucking raid. Like,
remember when we was on live and somebody was like, what do you guys think about what Kevin Feige said about Moon Knight, dude? It's gonna be crazy. And I was like, what did he say? And then we went and it was like, oh, it's bloody. I remember Kevin, he was like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
remember what he said this? He was like, the audience thinks we're not going to go there, but we're definitely going to go there. And I was like, Kevin. And then like the show starts and all the bloody shit that I got was like blood on fist. I said, that's it. I was like, that's your going there, dude.
Comparing
that's
that
it.
Fisk literally taking somebody's head, smashing it with a car door, and seeing the brains fall out of their head.
What about that scene in season 3 when they kill that neighbor in the apartment and they wrap her in plastic? That's just crazy. They're not doing that in no Disney Plus.
No. So we knew that there would be some stuff to maybe hold us back a little bit. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So, we've waited a little bit. There's been casting announcements for it, right? And they've all been whatever. But my thing is, the whole heart and soul of Daredevil is Matt and Foggy's relationship. Karen, mm-hmm, too, definitely. But I think her part of that comes in season 3 more than anything. But we had two whole seasons of Matt and Foggy just being the whole central emotional core of the show, right?
Right.
And it's crazy. It's so crazy that Matt's entire thing is that literally from the first, and if you even for a second, if you want to try and pitch me that this is the same Matt from the TV show, and you give me him and it's not with Foggy or not at all acknowledging Foggy or any of that, You're, mm-hmm. you lost me immediately, because that is Matt's entire thing, is wanting to run this business with Foggy and just be good people, basically.
I just really don't like the idea. I just really don't like the idea of, we recognize fans love the show. We really like Charlie Cox. We really loved Kingpin. We really love John Bernthal. But damn it, this is a whole new universe. Like, what is the point of that? I never really understand. I don't really understand the point of that. It's like you want to... It's like
exciting to them, I guess. It's like, these are the characters that excite people. But it's like...
It's the story. Like,
that is exciting. But the people who actually really love the show know that Karen and Foggy are like just as important as anyone else in the show, because that is Matt's reason.
Do you also realize too? You also realize, right? The reason why shows matter and stories matter is because when you talk to somebody about Punisher from Netflix, they never say, oh, the Punisher from the TV show on Netflix. They say, oh, Punisher from Daredevil season 2.
Yeah.
Because that was the best he was. That was the best he's ever been.
Any side character in Punisher.
Oh, fuck.
The guy Karen. I remember Karen.
The guy with the bump leg. I don't know. That's all I got. That's only because I recently just watched the first season. But like, seriously though, like people go to the actual season 2 before they go to his own show.
Yeah.
Because like season 2, the intro of Punisher was so flipping good. It was so good.
Not even just like superhero TV shows. That's like, their scenes together is some of the best writing and best scenes that I've seen in TV, like, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, too, it's like, I guarantee you, if you were to ask, like, 10 people what the best episode of Daredevil is, guarantee you 9 out of 10 people is going to say Nelson versus Murdock.
I'm just saying that whole episode
that is the centerpiece of the first season to me. And that is when you finally, it makes sense from the start what Matt's motivations are. But that episode is absolutely what crystal clear why Matt does what he does.
Yeah.
And that is because of his relationship with Foggy. So I'm like, I can't.
Just the stuff when he's like, the stuff when he's telling, when like, you know, Foggy finds out and all that stuff, man. You don't have, like, that's where I get frustrated with Marvel, because they think, oh, they just want the characters. Like, it's like, oh, they'll go with whatever we do. But look, we have Quicksilver from the X-Men movies, guys. Who cares what we do with them? It's him, right? Yeah. It's like, no, you gotta do something. What are you gonna do with them now? And it's like, yeah, like, bro, I'm excited that you, like, listen, everyone probably thought that I was gonna be shouting from the rooftops when they announced that Betty from The Incredible Hulk is gonna be in Captain America 4. I was like, I love The Incredible Hulk. I think it's completely underrated. I think it's so much fun. And I loved Betty. And I'm excited that she's back, but why? You know, what's gonna happen? You know, what are we doing? And like, nowadays, you gotta have to do more than just saying, "Oh, Red Hulk, hey!" You know, why are they here? Why? What are we doing? Like, what's the reason? It's more than just like, "Oh, here's Punisher," yeah. But like, why is Punisher here? Why is whoever here in the show? Why is Kingpin here? Like, what are they going to be doing besides just being a person? And we learned from Hawkeye that Kingpin just came in and he had super, it was a mess. So it's just, what are we doing? Like, do you have a plan for these characters instead of just bringing them in? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I mean, taking care
of the characters, more importantly, I guess.
Yeah. Like, just do something with them.
That the characters are back, but are they going to be taken care of the same way that they're taken care of in Daredevil? Where you just brought it up, Hawkeye. Yeah, it's really exciting to see Kingpin, especially Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch the show, he's not the kingpin that we know and love. Mm-hmm. So it's when the episode ends, it's like, okay, whatever.
What the fuck was
you
that?
You know? that's my thing is mm-hmm. I care so much about all these characters, and it is exciting that I'm going to be getting them back. But that's just the surface level thing is that, oh my God, I'm going to get them back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when I actually watch the show and it's just like, poop, poop, pee, pee, I'm... and I need a good reason as to why Karen and Foggy are absent.
And I have a feeling that from what we've seen and how they've done things in the past, you're not going to get it. I think they're just going to be gone, and there's going to be no record. There's going to be no conversation as to where everyone's been. Where's Daredevil been? He's just going to be here.
They even acknowledge it in She-Hulk. Oh my God.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? What part?
When they're sitting down at the bar and Matt is like, yeah, we've taken some time or like taken some cases that mm-hmm. people have paid us for. He said we.
Wink, so. Wink. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know, dude. Just man, I don't know. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. All right. Let's get out of here. That is it, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. As always, Hannah, thank you. As always, one of my closest friends, and that will never change. Anyway, thank you guys. Really appreciate it. And our next show is going to be tomorrow. Possibly box office. Possibly the review for Dungeons & Dragons. Stay tuned. Hannah, let everyone know they can follow you.
Dr. Tana on Twitter.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm getting a little active again, so check me out at Cinemaniac94, and you can follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cinemania World. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Hannah. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.